January 22nd. We had dinner at Sam and Jessica's tonight. Sunday family dinners used to be a regular thing before the twins were born, but two rambunctious babies in need of their parents' full attention got in the way of any kind of meaningful conversation, or any kind of meaningful eating, to be honest. Of course, the real problem was that Jessica isn't the sort of woman who can have people in her home and not serve them. And she's not the sort of guest who can just sit there and be served. At some point, Daryl and I realized that no matter where we had Sunday dinner, here, there, or at a restaurant, Jessica was going to run herself ragged trying to be the absolute best wife slash daughter-in-law slash mother in the world. We decided it would be a kindness to stop making Sunday dinner a thing. So, when Jessica invited us for tonight, I thought at first that she was trying to reestablish the Sunday dinner tradition now that the boys are old enough to be bribed into silence with screen time. I was all for it, especially because we hardly ever see Sam these days. He's so busy with work. Jessica stops by with the boys once or twice a week, and it's not unusual for me and Daryl to take the twins to the park on Saturday mornings, but Sam's always at the office. I still can't get over the idea that my scruffy, pickup truck driving, wannabe organic farmer is now the social media and marketing manager at the Acorn Advertising Group and wears stylish suits and shiny brown shoes to work. There was an article about Acorn in the business pages of the local paper last year, and I didn't recognize Sam in the staff photo. He's the tall one with the sleek beard in the back row, Daryl said, pointing my son out to me. Turns out our boy cleans up pretty good. I called Jessica this morning to see if I could bring anything, but she was insistent that she would do it all. You've been so great to us, Marnie. I want to show you how much I appreciate you and Daryl. And guess what? I'm making everything from scratch. Are you sure that's a good idea? I asked. I wasn't trying to be unkind. It's just that Jessica hasn't successfully cooked an entire meal since 2016. I've been practicing, Jessica insisted. It's going to be wonderful. Just you wait and see. When I got off the phone with Jessica, I immediately called Sheila. She's got an ulterior motive for inviting us over. I could hear it in her voice. Plus, she's cooking. Are you sure? Sheila asked. Some people say cooking when they mean picking up from Whole Foods. Jessica could be one of those people. Jessica has never shied away from revealing her sources, I replied. She's tried cooking and realized she's better at ordering in. No shame in that. Play to your strengths, I say. So, why is she cooking tonight? There must be a reason. I don't know, but I'd make something to have in the fridge when you get home, Sheila suggested. A frittata you could heat up in the microwave, or a Cobb salad. It was an excellent suggestion. After lunch, I made chicken salad and stuck a post-it note on it that read, "Keep out," so that Daryl wouldn't eat it for his mid-afternoon snack. How many things have I made over the years? Snacks for book club, a pie for the next day's bake sale, only to find them half-eaten or totally polished off when I needed them. It's heartbreaking. It really is. I realized on the drive over that it's been a while since we'd gone to Sam and Jessica's. Here's another thing about having a perfectionist daughter-in-law. She won't invite you over if her house isn't sparkling and put to rights. I tried a drive-by drop-in once, and I'm pretty sure Jessica has yet to recover from it. Anyway, their house is in what's referred to as New Milton Falls, although officially there's only one undivided Milton Falls. Our part of Milton Falls is the older part of town, which was out of fashion until about 10 years ago, when someone opened a restaurant in an abandoned department store on West Main Street. Parsnip quickly became famous for its grass-fed cheeseburgers and its prices, which at the time were outrageously high for our small city. Now that all of downtown has been revitalized with cocktail lounges and tapas bars, no one thinks twice about a $30 entree. Well, Daryl thinks twice, which is why we never go downtown to eat. The fact is, we lack the requisite tattoos to get served in most of the hot spots. New Milton Falls is a tangle of subdivisions that have grown up on the western outreaches of Ashland County in the last 2 decades. First came Grangerfield Mall, and then acre after acre of farmland got bought up by developers and turned into shiny suburbs, Grangerfield Heights, Pressler Estates, and so on. Sam and Jessica live in Pewter Ridge, a name just made to be bowdlerized by fifth graders. Theirs is one of those houses that looks great in its every detail. The black maple hardwoods all through the downstairs, the metallic tiled kitchen backsplash, but lacks a certain solidity. Daryl calls it popsicle stick construction. Something smelled good when Sam opened the door and welcomed us inside. "Is Jessica making pot roast?" I asked. "Whatever it is, I can't wait to try it." "It's oxtail soup," Sam informed us, "from a new recipe. A new and overly complicated recipe. To be honest, it would have been faster to kill an ox and roast it over a fire pit." "Are there actual tails in it?" Daryl asked as he handed Sam his coat. "From actual oxen?" "There are tails, but they're from cows. The boys aren't as traumatized by this idea as you'd think they'd be." As if on cue, the twins came running into the front hall yelling, "Grammy! Pop, pop!" They proceeded to tell us all of the latest preschool gossip and then ran off to watch DVDs of their favorite TV show, one that features a kind cat and several felonious mice. It never fails to crack them up. I'm happy to report that the soup was delicious, and even better, Jessica seemed relatively sane when she sat down at the table. "I was going to make rolls, but Sam talked me out of it," she told us. "I hope you don't mind that the bread is from Crumb." "I love Crumb," I assured her. "They make wonderful scones there." "Marnie makes me go buy a dozen whenever she and Sheila have one of their Downton Abbey marathons," Daryl added. After we finished our soup and bread, Jessica served us lemon meringue pie for dessert. "Confession, this is also from Crumb. I know I promised you a home-cooked dinner, but sometimes you have to outsource." This was a level of emotional maturity that I never expected from Jessica on the domestic front. Maybe that's why my defenses were down when the real reason for dinner was revealed. "So, we think we found a great deal on a Caribbean trip," Jessica announced as she brought out a pot of freshly brewed decaf. "We'd leave on the 17th. How is that for you?" I looked at Daryl and shrugged. "I'm pretty sure that works for me. How about you?"
"I don't see why not," Daryl said cheerfully. "I'm looking forward to spending a couple of days with the boys. They can help me get my garden plot ready and start my veggie seeds indoors."
"That would be great," Jessica said, but there was something in her voice, something that sounded more like, "That would be great, but..."
"Dad, we were hoping you guys could take care of the boys here," Sam said, cutting to the chase. "It's our first time away, and we think they'd do better in a familiar environment."
"And we're going to be gone for a week, and they'll be out of school the whole time."
I stared at Jessica.
"I'm sorry. I didn't catch what you just said."
Sam translated. "We've decided to go for a week instead of a long weekend. As it happens, the only week we can both get off work is the week of teacher conferences. I know. Teacher conferences for preschool is crazy, but it is what it is. The boys are out of school all week, so you won't be getting much of a break from them, I'm afraid.
That all sounds good to me, Daryl said. We'll just move in here for a week and take care of the boys. We'll give them tons of junk food and they'll have a ball.
You know we've got them on a gluten-free diet now, right? Jessica asked. I'll leave a list of what they can and can't eat.
It'll be fine, Daryl insisted as we were driving home. It'll be like a vacation for us, staying in someone else's house.
Someone else's house where we have to cook and clean and take care of toddlers, I clarified. On the whole, I'd rather go to Hawaii.
Daryl was quiet for a moment, and then he sighed.
Yeah, me too.
January 23rd. After a long conversation over a full complement of adult beverages, Daryl and I have decided that spending a week with our grandsons at their house instead of ours is going to be so much fun that we'll be begging Sam and Jessica to stay away for another week just so we can keep the party going. Sometimes lying to yourself is the only way to survive.
January 28th. Sheila is irritated with me for not being more excited about spending a week taking care of my grandchildren.
I would love that opportunity, she told me as we were driving to the Cozy Quilter. I have been begging for that opportunity since the minute Willa was born 8 years ago. And I was the grandmother fully on board with Suzy and Sarah having children. Sarah's mom still refuses to acknowledge that Sarah is gay. But I rolled with the punches, baby. I welcomed Sarah from the first time Suzy brought her home, and I threw Suzy the biggest baby shower the world has ever seen. And still, the longest they've let me take care of those children is 2 days. 2 measly days.
That's because they never go anywhere, I pointed out. And when they do go somewhere, they take the children.
Sheila huffed and then continued.
Don't get me started on Grace and Rob. They've never left Marco alone for a minute since the day he was born. They're afraid someone might contaminate him with non-educational toys.
I've got a thought. Why don't you take care of Taylor and Tyler for a week?
Sheila's eyes widened.
Do you mean it? I'd do it in a second.
We glanced at each other and started to giggle.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? I asked as I turned my eyes back to the road.
If you're thinking I could stay at Sam and Jessica's with you and Daryl, then honey, we are having the exact same thought.
Which is when we both shouted, "Slumber party!" at the top of our lungs.
We'll make it like summer camp, Sheila declared as we started feverishly hatching plans, like when we were CITs at Camp Flyaway.
We could earn merit badges, I declared, and have sing-alongs. Sheila looked at me, her eyes even wider than before.
Let's buy stuff to make sit-upons.
Sit-upons, we shrieked at the exact same time. February 1st. Steve the plumber here again today. Of course, he stayed for lunch. I've always invited him to stay for lunch whenever he's here to do some plumbing work for us. Today, it was the leaky faucet in the upstairs bathroom, which we still call the kids' bathroom, even though we've been empty nesters for years now, our adult children with bathrooms of their own elsewhere. I figure a well-fed plumber is a happy plumber, and who doesn't need a happy plumber in their lives? Besides, he and Daryl get along so well. Like a lot of men I know, Daryl doesn't have many friends. He used to have friends at work, and he didn't seem to want or need any more outside of work. When he came home at the end of the day, he liked to relax and watch TV or read.
He wasn't looking for buddies to go bowling with or hang out with in bars. Until a few years ago, he and his best friend from college, Brian, went on an annual camping trip every May. But then Brian moved to Canada with his second wife and the camping trip stopped. So now he's got Steve the plumber. And it turns out Steve the plumber also likes to work on small machines, so he and Daryl started a lively conversation over tuna sandwiches about Daryl's new obsession with featherweight sewing machines. "Daryl, show him the one you got off of Craigslist for $75, I said as I delivered a basket of chips to the table. I turned to Steve. It's a 1962 Singer, absolutely pristine. Steve's eyes went wide and he let out a whistle. You got a 1962 Singer for $75? Whoever sold it to you had zero idea of what they were doing. Daryl didn't reply right away. He pretended to be chewing, but I could tell he was fake chewing. He was chewing as a stalling tactic. Like, if he did it long enough, maybe someone would change the topic in the meantime. Why do I feel like I haven't got the whole story on that Singer? I asked, sitting down and reaching for a chip. Fess up, Daryl. Daryl finally fake swallowed and then looked at me and shrugged. Turns out that the price was a typo, he admitted. The guy meant to list it for $750. Or at least he said he meant to list it for $750. Did you pay $750? I asked, shaking my head in disbelief, sure that his answer would be yes. No, I did not, Daryl said. I said I wouldn't give him a penny more than $500. He turned to Steve. When I got home, I looked it up. The guy could have gotten twice that. $500? I did my best to keep my voice steady. Without even discussing it with me? Without telling me the truth when you got home? Daryl smiled his most charming smile at me. It was one of those ask for permission or ask for forgiveness situations. Only I guess I didn't do either. I was just so excited, Marnie. You know how that is, right? Getting really excited and making a rash purchase. Okay, maybe I did. I mean, there's a Bernina 550 QE in my sewing room that I got at Paducah 4 years ago without really meaning to. It just sort of followed me out of the building. Besides, Daryl continued, sounding a touch defensive, why shouldn't I be able to spend a little money on myself from time to time? Even $500 is a steal if the machine is in good condition, Steve told me, like he was pleading Daryl's case. Daryl could turn around and sell it for twice as much. I nodded, deciding to let it go, at least in the moment. Let she who is without sin throw the first stone, and all that. Still, I didn't love that Daryl didn't tell me what had happened. We aren't the kind of couple who keep secrets from each other. Not that I've shown Daryl every receipt I've ever brought home from the cozy quilter. I assume a don't ask, don't tell policy on all purchases under $100. Okay, under $250. They all show up on the credit card bill anyway. And okay, I'm the one who pays the credit card bill, but Daryl's free to look it over whenever he wants. I don't know. There's something about the situation that makes me slightly uneasy. Although I suppose if the worst thing Daryl ever does is spend $425 more on a sewing machine than he led me to believe, it's not the worst thing in the world. But it's not the best thing in the world either. On a brighter note, it occurred to me that Steve the plumber is cute. Really cute. Maybe not Harrison Ford cute, but close enough. I'm not sure how old he is. Mid-40s, maybe? So, younger than Sheila, sure. But I don't think age matters so much these days. He doesn't wear a wedding ring, but maybe that's common for plumbers. They see enough wedding rings go down the drain, they might leave theirs at home just to be on the safe side. But if he's not married, well, he's intelligent and good company, and cute. And if I may be so bold to note, he smells good. That's not nothing. One thing I know for sure, the man makes good money. Not that Sheila cares about that sort of thing, but it would be nice if she could find a man who would take her to dinner and not insist that they split the bill, which is what happened the last time she went on a date, way back in 2017. Steve the plumber. That's really not a bad idea. February 6th. Guild last night. Teddy Pruitt gave a lecture on string quilts, and it was one of the best programs we've had in ages. My favorite programs are ones where the presenters are funny, tell lots of stories, and actually teach me something I don't already know. Teddy ticked all three boxes. Sheila made fun of me for taking notes, but quilt history is interesting. They should teach it at school. Katie keeps saying she's going to get me a bumper sticker that says, "Quilt history is women's history." I wish she would. I would stick it on my bumper with pride. Anyway, one of the most interesting things Teddy said was that if you make string blocks, the blocks will never be pretty. But they'll become pretty when you put them together into a quilt top. She called it kaleidoscope magic. Transferring the bland into the beautiful. I really love that idea. She showed us all sorts of quilts from her collections, and you could see it, how the individual blocks didn't seem so special on their own, but pieced together? Amazing. Did I mention that I wasn't the only one who had guild tonight? Daryl and I went to different meetings, but we both had guild. It feels strange to write that. I'd just gotten home from the Peacemakers meeting when a text from Daryl popped up on my phone. "I'm at Mrs. Miniver's cocktail lounge on Walnut Street talking about quilts with some new friends. Uber over if you want to join us." It was 9:30, precariously close to my bedtime, so I texted back my regrets. Still, I thought I might wait up for him. To be honest, I was dying to hear how things had gone at his meeting. Who was there? What did they talk about? Did people make Daryl feel welcome? Clearly they must have if he was bar hopping downtown on a Monday night. I ended up falling asleep on the couch, an ancient issue of Quilter's Newsletter resting softly on my face. How I miss Quilter's Newsletter. The click of Daryl's key in the lock woke me, and I was struggling to push myself up from the couch cushions when he walked into the living room, a bulging plastic bag in each hand. "You're up late," he said, setting the bags on the floor and shrugging off his jacket. "How were the Peacemakers tonight?" I stretched my arms over my head and let out a big yawn before answering. Same as always, Pat was back at the helm, and she managed to keep the rowdy contingent under control. "How were the modern quilters?" "Amazing." Daryl flopped into the easy chair across from the couch. "A very nice woman named Gretchen did a presentation on a Japanese stitching technique called Boro. It was fascinating. And the show and tell, Marnie. Well, I have to tell you, I saw some beautiful quilts tonight. Plus, there was a fabric swap where everyone brought fabric from their stash they didn't want anymore. I wasn't going to participate since I didn't bring anything, but everyone insisted I take some. In fact, they were pushing fabric at me. There must be at least 5 yards in those bags." "Sounds like a nice group," I said. "I'm glad everyone was so welcoming." "They really were. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Megan Hannigan was there.
Megan from work?
Daryl nodded. One and the same.
Megan Hannigan started working at Civil Consultants, Inc. 3 years ago, fresh out of grad school. She was on Daryl's team and apparently brilliant, but her social skills were non-existent. I remember trying to chat with her at the 4th of July picnic last year. At some point, she just held up her hand, turned, and walked to the parking lot. That was the last anyone saw of her until the following Monday. I stretched again and stood up.
She must have thought it was weird when you showed up to the meeting tonight.
Yeah, she seemed a little discombobulated, but she brought over a cookie at the break and told me she'd missed me at the office.
It was touching.
Oh, and I joined the charity quilt committee, which Megan is on too. We're meeting Thursday night at Bean Traders. I think you know one of the other committee members. Carol something.
Wilson?
Carol Wolseley? I suggested.
That's it. Very nice woman. She says to tell you hi, Daryl said.
He stood and crossed the room.
Give me a kiss. I'm going to go work on my quilt. I can't believe how fun it is to make wonky stars.
I kissed Daryl on the cheek and turned to go upstairs to bed. Even though I was happy he'd had such a nice time, I felt uneasy. My husband is an attractive man. In fact, he's better looking now at 65 than he was when I married him. He's also funny and fun to talk to. And now he makes quilts. Let's face it, he's quite the catch. And I'm not the only woman who's aware of that. My guess is that the recently divorced Carol Wolseley is aware of it, too.
Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.